You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Is Nagy's offense sort of holding him back in a way and preventing him from developing? Or is Matt Nagy's offense the only thing that's really propping this guy up at this point?
That is the million-dollar question we'll explore on today's Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I write about the Chicago Bears for BearsWire, part of the USA Today sports media group. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis, and today I'll be joined by Mark Schofield, whose voice you heard there. He breaks down quarterbacks in a number of different places, but specifically Mitchell Trubisky for Pro Football Weekly, and we're going to go in-depth on quarterback development, where Mitchell Trubisky is now compared to last year, what we've seen through 2 weeks, and what we need to see from the rest of the season. Real quick before we get started, don't forget to submit your questions for tomorrow's Mailbag podcast. You can call or text 312-620-8590. Leave us a voicemail and hear yourself right here on the show, or just text in that message and I'll read it on the air and answer it. You can also email lockedonbears@gmail.com or just send us a tweet at lockedonbears. I really enjoy every time I get Mark Schofield on the podcast to talk quarterbacks, and I think you will too. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is Mark Schofield. You can read him pretty much anywhere anyone writes about football, but he writes for Big Blue View, the Gopher Report on Rivals. You can hear him on the Sco Show podcast on SB Nation. He also breaks down quarterbacks in podcast form with friend of the show Michael Kist on Bleeding Green Nation, part of SB Nation. And most relevant to our conversation here, Mark Schofield writes about Mitchell Trubisky every week for Pro Football Weekly, breaking down the Bears quarterback. So, of course, we had to get Mark back on to do what's become a little bit of an annual show for us here early in the season with Mitchell Trubisky. Mark, I appreciate you taking the time to join us, and I wanted to start with just sort of your general impressions and evaluation of Mitchell Trubisky through 2 weeks here.
Well, Lauren, always great to be with you. Thanks, man, for having me on. Always a fun time. And let me just say this. I'm not asking for any sort of sympathy or anything like that, but it's been a roller coaster of, say, a past couple of months here with Mitchell Trubisky, because over at Pro Football Weekly in their Bears Preview magazine, I made the case that, look, I'm buying in on Trubisky in this year. I thought that the things that he needed to fix after last season, he could be, you know, he could fix them. I thought that, you know, the second year in Matt Nagy's system, you would see that sort of growth in him from a mental and mechanical perspective that he needed to display. And then he comes out in week one, and that week one game was underwhelming. That week one game, I think in my mind, was a disappointment. And yes, you can point to the interception in the end zone, but there are other throws and decisions that really gave me serious pause. There was the near pick that he threw when Savage jumped a route. And when you've got a rookie free safety who's more of a box type guy, reading your eyes, playing sort of a robber type role and stepping in front of a curl route, which should have been intercepted, that's something that gives me pause. When you see him get flushed from the pocket, and rather than just throw the ball away, he runs out of bounds for a loss of yardage, that makes you question sort of the thought process. So I was very down on him after week one. And then the week two game on the road at Denver, I didn't actually watch that game live. I was in the car with my dad. We were going out to Northern Virginia to a concert. We saw Game of Thrones live. It was a fantastic show, by the way. But I was following the game on Twitter. We had, you know, a SiriusXM station on the radio, and it sounded like it was going to be awful. You know, people were crushing him on the timeline. People were crushing him on radio, saying every throw is a check down. And I thought when I got a chance to sit down and finally watch this game, I was going to be, yes, disappointed again. But strangely enough, I think if you look at the context of what it seemed Matt Nagy wanted to do against the Denver Broncos offensively, and the way he seemed to want to really neutralize Chubb and Miller off the edge, I think when Matt Nagy sat down and graded Trubisky's game on the rewatch, he probably thought he did exactly what I wanted him to do. Most of their route concepts were designed quick game concepts. They really wanted to get the ball out of Trubisky's hands quickly. You can watch some of the plays, and you can tell that even the offensive line, they were so worried about Chubb and Miller off the edge. There's a play that I found where Charles Leno, the left tackle, is trying to mirror and block Bradley Chubb off the edge as Chubb is literally dropping into the flat and pass coverage. He's so consumed with blocking him that he's blocking a guy that's downfield in a sense. And so when you put that together, I was oddly surprised with how well I thought Trubisky played in week two. Now, part of that might have been, look, the expectations were low coming in after week one and after what I was seeing and how people were describing his play. So I was probably going to be pleasantly surprised anyway, but I think he executed the game plan well. I was okay with the decisions that he made on a number of their route concepts. Obviously, he makes the throw late in the game to keep them alive. Yes, a controversial, in a sense, rough in the passer penalty, but he makes the throw down the middle of the field, gets him in position to win the game, and they get a road win in the NFL, which is sometimes very tough to do against a defense and a defensive-minded head coach that knows you pretty well. So I think putting it together, I was pleasantly surprised with week two. I was underwhelmed with week one, but this might just be the Mitchell Trubisky roller coaster that we've all sort of tied ourselves to over the past couple of seasons.
Well, that roller coaster continues with Mark Schofield next on Locked On Bears. We're breaking down Mitchell Trubisky and all things quarterback development today with Mark Schofield. And Mark, it seems like expectations have kind of been readjusted, which is, you know, I'm sure healthy and good and sort of fitting for what the Bears want from their quarterback. But I feel like we like, now that we're in year three of Mitchell Trubisky, that we shouldn't necessarily need to be at a place where we're tempering things and expecting things. And that's sort of where my question is here, that, you know, I look at the game plans and a lot of the play calling from the last couple of weeks, and it feels like they're kind of back to a lot of pre-snap reads and not full progressions, and a lot of the, you know, the spot concepts, the slant flats, the curl flats, the, you know, sort of the go-tos that don't require Mitchell Trubisky to really have to think a ton and read a ton. I mean, they'll open it up in some situations, and I also understand that it's good to work in a lot of those quick, easy throws to sort of get your quarterback in a rhythm and just take the free yards that the defense are going to give you. But at the same time, it feels like they're not letting Mitchell Trubisky do more. And I would assume it's because they're not comfortable letting Mitchell Trubisky do more, because I don't know that they would intentionally or I guess accidentally hold their quarterback back. Like I would think that if you're simplifying things and not opening things up for him to really read full defenses and attack downfield more, it's because you don't trust him or are not confident enough in him to be able to do that effectively consistently. So this is sort of a really roundabout way of asking, like, should we be concerned that it feels like, first of all, do you agree that the Bears are kind of trying to keep things simple with him? And is that a concern for a quarterback in year three and the second year in this offense?
I do think they are trying to simplify it for him, both in terms of what they're asking him to do and then the route concepts they're using him on. I do think it is somewhat concerning. And I wrote after week one that, look, Bill Walsh, who knew more about quarterback play than anybody, he said quarterbacks have to figure it out by year three. And when I talked about that and when I wrote that, I got a lot of pushback from Bears fans who were like, look, it's really just year two, year one doesn't count. And I get that. I get people having that thought process. But at the same time, he was still playing quarterback in the National Football League as a rookie. So this is his third year as a quarterback in the National Football League. And if you want to sort of temper expectations or give him a bit more time, I get that. But let's look at how he's being used, and let's look at some of the simple things that he's doing that haven't progressed. I mean, I mentioned that near pick to Savage. It was a simple curl concept, and he couldn't read the coverage right. The throw that got intercepted at the end of week one, it's double in, double China, whatever you want to call it, where you got a trips look to the left, the two outside guys run in cuts, number three is running that corner route. You have to look off the safety in the middle of the field. It's like quarterback 101 on this play. And he doesn't do it. He looks at Allen Robinson the entire way from the moment the ball gets snapped to the time he releases it. He is not looking anywhere else. And these aren't things that you know, would be specific to a Matt Nagy system. So this idea that, look, you know, it's year two of this offense, you know, we got to give him some more time. He should have been doing that in year one under John Fox and Dowell Loggins in that system, looking off a safety. It's quarterback play 101. I could drive coast to coast, stop at any high school field on a Friday night and see quarterbacks that are looking off safeties in the middle of the field. This is a guy that's his third year in the National Football League, second year in an offensive-minded system, and he's not doing it. That's the stuff that concerns me. You know, the idea whether it's year two or year three. No, he's not doing quarterback 101 stuff. That's the fear here. And that sort of bleeds into the underlying issue. Does Mitchell Trubisky have a Matt Nagy problem? Because in a sense, if they're sort of dialing it back, is he going to get a chance to finally learn this stuff? Or is it always going to be, look, this is your first read. This is where you can throw it. Based on this coverage, you know you can throw the ball here. Well, he's not going to get into a moment where he's looking guys off. And so that's the thing that I'm trying to work through in my head right now, Lauren, is Nagy's offense sort of holding him back in a way and preventing him from developing? Or is Matt Nagy's offense the only thing that's really propping this guy up at this point? And that's the big question, I think, the overall, you know, 60,000-foot question facing this Bears offense right now.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And that's what I've been trying to sort of get at here. And it's the ultimate question that we just can't know from the outside. It's where is that line and where is that responsibility? And I think that's what's most intriguing about sort of watching this Bears offense moving forward and trying to see how that dynamic continues to play out. Because if you're Matt Nagy, you know, you have to win. Your goal is to win games first and foremost. So your quarterback development sort of has to come second, even though quarterback development will help you win more games. If you have to sacrifice wins in the present to sort of go through the ups and downs of, you know, like if you took the reins off Trubisky and just said, we're going to give you a lot of these situations for you to work through, and there's going to be a lot of mistakes in those situations, you might start losing games in the short term, and then risking those early losses for your quarterback to develop long term to potentially be a better quarterback down the line to help you win more games in the future. Well, the championship window is only so long, and you can only afford to lose or you know, sacrifice. Not that it'd be a guaranteed loss, but you can only afford to sort of sacrifice in that regard for so much. It's a tough spot when he just needs to make sure you win the game, you know, against the Denver Broncos, where, okay, let's just scale everything back. Let's go as simple as we can and just get out of here with a low scoring, tough fought W. And I guess I sort of like, you know, you look maybe from a game by game standpoint, you think like last year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think it was week four, it's like the Bears know they were going against a tough opponent, so they could open things up a little bit and could trust Trubisky to hit more of those post wheel concepts and, you know, things downfield where he has to really tell what coverage they're in and where the safeties are going to be and look guys off and throw across the field. And I wonder if that's enough. You know, if you know, you look at the Bears schedule, they have some tough games where they're going to have to just go light and go easy on Trubisky and just kind of say, yep, we're going to have to take the simple stuff. But, you know, maybe, boy, you know, no game is a total gimme, but, you know, maybe if the Giants are downhill, I mean, those types of games, or, you know, if the Lions fall off at some point, or if, you know, another quarterback injury. I mean, is that enough? You know, obviously we don't know the exact measurement, but like, can you just do it for a couple games here and there while you can afford it and have that be enough development? Or does it really need to be sort of an immersive every game, every snap type thing where he just needs all those reps to develop and build those sort of fundamental quarterback aspects?
You know, I do think that it does need to be more of an immersive experience in a sense, because you can't sort of dial it up and then dial it back from week to week. That's not how learning really works. That's not how development really works. And I know, look, development is not linear. You have ups and downs, but dialing it back from time to time, you're just going to get yourself into bad habits. And, you know, Lauren, it's interesting. So the way you phrase that question is that it brought to mind for me something I've often wondered about, sort of quarterback development at the collegiate level, because, you know, an example I often use is Tim Tebow. And when he was under Urban Meyer, Urban Meyer's job was to win the SEC. It was to beat Alabama. It was to win a national championship. And so if he could get by with Tim Tebow throwing jump passes off fake quarterback draws and, you know, having bad mechanics and not being able to throw a 10-yard route on time and in rhythm off of a 5-step drop, that was going to work for them to win games. And you look at this Bears offense, this Bears roster, this Bears organization, how they're constructed. It's defense, you know, the ability to sort of get stops. That defense is still extremely good. They don't need, in a sense, Mitchell Trubisky to take huge developmental leaps. They can get by and probably be extremely competitive in the division and perhaps beyond with not having to fully develop him as a well-rounded quarterback. And that might be sort of the tension, and not just the college game now, but even the NFL game. Because if you think about it sort of more globally, taking a step back, we all sort of have agreed that right now that competitive advantage you get on a rookie quarterback deal is the biggest thing you can have as an organization. It gives you perhaps the best window to be competitive. We've seen it with the Rams and the Eagles and obviously Seattle when they won their Super Bowl with Wilson. And so we're seeing these younger quarterbacks get pushed into action early because you want to maximize that window and you do what you can to make them competitive and functional quarterbacks. And if for Chicago, Nagy and Trubisky, that's curl flat, slant flat, mirrored passing concepts, RPOs, and just get what you can out of them during this window and then hoping at some point he makes the leap. That might be what you have to do.
Yeah, and if the offense is going to have to keep going simplified like that, I think we're going to see this team continue to hit the under on mybookie.ag. I look ahead to Monday night. Right now, the points total is set at 41.5 against Washington, and the Bears have struggled to have them or their opponent go over 20 points each in the contest, and I think taking under 41.5 at minus 110 is a pretty darn good deal this week. Even the Bears -4 on the spread, I think I'll take that as well. And the only place to take that bet is mybookie.ag. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and MyBookie is the best in the business. No one gives you more ways to win, and they've got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, locked on, at mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. You know, Mark, I think you brought up some good perspective there. You know, it has been 2 weeks. It has been two pretty good ascending defenses as well. So there's going to be better from Mitchell Trubisky. You know, this is not the new normal because we're seeing 2 weeks of Trubisky pretty much worse than we had seen last year for a lot of the stretch. So, I mean, that is an important sort of underlying context here because I also wanted to get your perspective. Like, it seemed like last year, of course, from week 1 to week 17, we see that improvement from Trubisky. And obviously, offseason, we expected more improvement from Trubisky, but kind of comes back week 1 and not a lot of development from where he was last year. I think we talked about this last year at this time, but this idea of a quarterback getting better during the season and needing those game reps to get better versus a quarterback getting better in the offseason and being able to sort of drill those mechanics and different types of situations where he just needs a million reps of doing it against air just to sort of make it second nature to him. Do you think, because that's what I'm wondering, is like, I would think some of the things with Trubisky as far as like looking off safeties and stuff should be something that was an off-season focal point of development that you can practice more so in a game situation and in theory should have taken more steps in the off-season, whereas something like pocket presence and not feeling ghosts in the pocket, that seems to me something more like you can't quite replicate that in practice when guys can't actually hit you and you don't have that true feel pressure. So it seems like there are things from Trubisky that should have been more developed in the offseason, and there are things that need to specifically be developed more in the season. How would you sort of balance, you know, when you see the errors that Mitchell Trubisky makes and the things he needs to improve on, how many of those are in-season things versus off-season things?
You know, I get the sense, seeing him through 2 weeks, that a lot of his off-season was built on mechanics. You know, and this was one of the issues I had with him last year. And we all know it's almost become a meme at this point that he can't throw to his left, you know, Mitchell Zoolander, whatever you want to say. But I do think there has been a concerted effort to fix his lower body mechanics, to fix that left foot. He's made some great throws to the left side of the field this year. I know, look, he missed on that sort of lead concept last, you know, just a couple of days ago where he had, I think it was Miller or Gabriel, in the left flat off that lead concept. He was wide open and he missed it. But he also had some great back shoulder throws to Allen Robinson all on the left sideline, had a couple of good routes early against Denver. There were out routes to the left, which are tough routes to throw if you struggle throwing to that side of the field and you've got issues stepping in the bucket. So I do think a lot of the offseason work was concentrated on mechanics, which is a big thing for him, and I'm glad to see that. Some of the other stuff, you're right. You could work through looking off safeties, throwing against air. A great example of that, Baker Mayfield down at the Senior Bowl 2 years ago. They were throwing routes against air, and he's out there looking off safeties. You watch week one, Baltimore at Miami. They run off a four verticals concept. They get a zero safety cover, zero type look because of there's a bracket. Lamar Jackson doesn't have a safety to look off, but he still looks off a safety on that play because he's got it drilled into his head, probably from doing it against air all summer long, that that's what you got to do. We're not seeing that from Trubisky. So you're right in the sense that that could have been done, and maybe it wasn't. But maybe, again, focus was so much on the mechanical stuff that they weren't quite doing the other stuff. So that's, you know, one thing to think about. And the other thing is, look, you're right. Pocket feel, pocket presence. You could have guys with brooms, guys with dummies, guys with blocking shields chasing you around in your backyard or at the local high school field. It's not going to replicate it as it does when you get into a game. You've got Von Miller and Bradley Chubb chasing you down. Like, that's going to work on your pocket presence. So the feel, the pocket presence, that needs reps. The other stuff is stuff you can work on in the offseason, but I do think from seeing him through 2 weeks, the mechanics was the emphasis, not so much the looking off safeties and things like that.
So as we look off to the future a little bit here with Trubisky, not that I don't want to get too far ahead or anything, but like when, as we sort of monitor him through the season moving forward and see where his mechanics are in his decision-making process, how long or how much longer do we wait before we can kind of for sure say he is what he's going to be? Like, this is what Mitchell Trubisky is as a quarterback. Because I think the sort of the underlying thing here is, as much as we have concerns, neither one of us is like, this is locked in. He is Blake Bortles, and that is final. I mean, there is still time here. There is still development to be done this season. But, you know, is 2019 it? That at the end of this season, whatever we see from Mitchell Trubisky, that's going to be Mitchell Trubisky? Or, I mean, are we allowed to sell ourselves on, well, maybe one more offseason with Matt Nagy, year three with Matt Nagy, you know, Alex Smith in year three with Matt Nagy did X, Y, you know, I mean, is this it? Or will we still maybe not quite know for sure what Trubisky is after this season?
I don't think that this is sort of a do or die type year for him. You know, even though I mentioned that Bill Walsh quote, year three, you got to figure it out. I do think he sort of should get some time in 2020 as well. But at the same time, I do want to see growth. If we get to the holiday season, the new year, and like I said, like I sort of referenced earlier, that hypothetical situation where I'm back on here, and we're talking about throws in week 16 and 17 where I just don't know what he was thinking and how they have to keep dialing the offense back for him. And we're not seeing that growth. We're not seeing him looking off safeties. We're seeing him sort of struggle with these same sort of basic aspects to play in the position. Then I think you approach 2020 with that sort of Bortles-esque type leash on him where you're like, look, if we're not seeing it right away, we're going to have to make a decision. I don't know if you draft quarterback early. Like, if you get to, you know, January, and we're still having these conversations, I don't think Chicago drafts QB early. I don't think they do it in like the first round or anything, but you might see them take a quarterback early day three, late day two, as just a potential sort of plan B, just in case. I think, again, he gets this season to sort of figure it out. I do want to see growth from him, but I don't think it's a situation where, you know, come Halloween, if we're not seeing it, you sit him down. I think it's just, he needs to work through this. And part of it might be, you know, not getting any reps in the preseason, any preseason games. I understand why Matt Nagy took that approach, but with things like pocket presence, it would help. So maybe we give him a little bit of a gliding path into this season. But I do think we need to start seeing some growth there over the course of this year. Otherwise, there are going to be some hard conversations at Hallis Hall in the offseason.
Well, Mark, it's never a hard conversation when you come on the podcast. The time flies. I always learn so much, too, talking about quarterbacks with our resident quarterback expert and friend of the show, Mark Schofield. Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time tell everybody a little bit more about where all you write about football and what they can get from you breaking down Trubisky at Pro Football Weekly.
Well, Lauren, always a blast to be on me. You always have a ton of fun catching up with you. As far as the places you can find me, easiest way is on Twitter at Mark Schofield. But each week I come out sometime on Tuesday, usually, unless it's an earlier game with a Trubisky breakdown. I, you know, rewatch the game a couple of times, break down a bunch of plays, give you my thoughts on how he fared. You know, other places you can find me, you know, Inside the Pylon, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio. And there's three SB Nation sites where I do some work. There's Big Blue View, where I cover the Giants and their quarterback dilemmas. Bleeding Green Nation, where I co-host the QB SCO show with the Honorable Michael J. Kiss. We talk quarterbacks and more once a week. And then Pat's Pulpit, where I do some writing on the Patriots, as well as the SCO show, which comes out three times a week, a post-game show, and then two shows during the week. It's a bunch of places, but like I said, the easiest way is Twitter, at Mark Schofield.
I cannot recommend everybody enough to check out your work. It's always, even when it's not about the Bears, it's always something you can learn new about quarterback play and NFL football. So I appreciate you coming on, and we'll definitely have to do this again as we see where Mitchell Trubisky goes this season.
Sounds great, buddy. Anytime you need me, you know where to find me.
Thanks again to Mark Schofield for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation, of course, check out all of Mark's work like we just talked about there, but also subscribe to the Locked On Bears podcast to keep up with more daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can also like Locked On Bears on Facebook, follow at Locked On Bears on Twitter, and you can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You know we'll be keeping a close eye on Mitchell Trubisky all season long, so you're going to want to make sure you're sticking around for that. And tomorrow we will have our mailbag episode of the podcast where I turn the show over to you and you tell me what we're going to talk about. It's a great way to end the week, and it's a great way to bear down.